All right, everybody. Happy Monday. It is Stick and Hack Reacts. I am your host, Adam Grubb, and that's Keith Stewart from ESPN Radio in New York City and host of The Pro Show. Keith, the Stick and Hack Reacts, let's get right into it. I'm still watching golf. The playoffs are still, it's still happening. They are on hole 79 of the playoff. Yesterday, Bryson DeChambeau, Patrick Cantlay, I don't know if you can say enough amazing things about yesterday's golf, about the tournament itself, about the playoff structure. I am, and I don't get jacked up for golf like you do. I was, despite owning Stick and Hack, which doesn't make any sense, but I was jacked up yesterday and so excited for the extra golf, but then it just kept going. And each time somebody had to do something great, they did or they didn't. Your reaction to yesterday's last leg of the playoff run?
Well, two big thumbs up. So I'll start there and give you my reaction, Adam. And you weren't far off. You said 79 holes. The tournament took actually 78 holes. Six playoff holes, which is the theme. That's 5 weeks in a row, if you're counting back to the Olympics, that we've had a playoff decide men's golf. Right? So we had the Olympics, the WGC, the Wyndham, of course, the Northern Trust with Tony Finau this past Monday, and then, of course, now the BMW with six more holes. That's 27 players over the last 2 months. Playing 34 playoff holes. Just unbelievable how competitive the PGA Tour is. And it's really cool, and it's exciting. I mean, was there anything more exciting yesterday than the second time they played the 17th hole and Bryson hit it to like 6 feet and then Cantlay hit it inside of him?
No, that to me was the moment where I said, if you don't love golf, if you don't even like golf, you're still looking at that, watching that, going, holy cow, did that just happen? It was an unbelievable stretch of golf. And in between that was some surprising outcomes. There wasn't a time where I said to myself, there's no way Bryson misses this, because he had proven himself that he could miss those 8-footers, 10-footers when it mattered most. And he did hit the hole and he was close and all that stuff. But I was surprised that at every level, Bryson hit the shot he needed to hit. Even after hitting in the water, he hit the shot he needed to hit to stay in the playoff, and yet still couldn't hit the 8-footers and 10-footers he needed to hit to win. And I'm going to say this to you, Keith, because we give Bryson a lot of gruff every single week. I was impressed with him all weekend. I was impressed with his play. I was impressed with his ability to stay in it, because he was leading by 4 or 5, and then all of a sudden he wasn't, and he was always in it. And I was impressed with his play. I was not impressed with his putting, but this is coming from somebody who can't putt from 3 feet and make it with any confidence. So the whole day and the whole weekend was really solid golf, and it just goes to show you that at any given Sunday, PGA Tour puts on an amazing show, and that we don't necessarily need Tiger. We don't necessarily need Phil. We don't need Bubba. We don't need these guys with big personalities. We just need solid, solid golf. Because Cantlay at one point was asleep in the middle of the playoff. Bryson is doing math calculations to himself, and they are not exactly the most endearing men out there playing golf, yet they were putting on quite a show.
Well, I mean, the golf is the show. You know, it started this week on Monday with Finau and his back 9:30. You know, it's been a great week for golf, and it's been the playoffs. You know, playoffs, I mean, it's just, we have playoffs deciding playoffs. I mean, how can it get more exciting? Yes, there's no Tiger, but at the same time, I mean, you got to give this two big thumbs up. And I really think it comes down to, and I'm sure we'll touch upon this, Adam, but there's something coming up at the end of next month that all of these guys are getting ready for. And you could see Bryson and Patrick were firing at all cylinders. And these guys know that Captain Stricker is looking. I mean, you just look at the performance that they put together. And a lot of people would say, well, it wasn't a great playoff round because 25 under or 27 under wins. Well, I mean, who cares? You play the golf course. It was wet. You know, it's short. Every golf course is short for these guys unless they're playing at like 9,000 yards. Yeah. So let them have at it. I mean, Cantlay, he was 30 yards behind Bryson on every tee shot, and he made 33 birdies this week.
Yeah.
Right? And how did he get it done? He broke the record for strokes gained putting. He was 14-something shots, 14.5, 14.6 shots better than the field. 14 shots better than the field putting. I mean, what a display. And do you think that that's important come Ryder Cup and Whistling Straits at the end of the month? I mean, these guys just threw it out there and said, hey, listen, this is certainly something I'm thinking about, and this is the way I'm going to play, and I want on that team. And Cantlie did it. He moved up five spots, and he got into one of those qualifying spots on the last day. I mean, you just can't. I mean, the theater is just amazing. I mean, I want to resonate your point. It's fantastic. And we give Bryson a tough time, but, you know, at the end of the day, that guy has got to play just like he did this past weekend for us to do well at the Ryder Cup.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely. I think you might see a change in public perception if he goes out there and kills it for the U.S. team. Sure. And I know that some of the locals and some of the marshals and some of the people that were on site were even chastising those that were yelling Brooksy when he would hit a ball. They're trying to tamper that down. They're trying to rewrite the script a little bit and give Bryson a fair shake and a fair shot here as we come into the Ryder Cup time. We need him to play at a all-time high level in order, I think, for both for his public perception of the USA, but more specifically so we can get the cup.
Let's just put it this way. Nobody deals with more than Bryson, just in his own head.
No.
Right? Let's just start there. And then you compound that with the whole Brooks Koepka fan syndrome and everything. I mean, you got to give the guy credit. He's, you know, number three in the Ryder Cup rankings. He's ranked seventh in the world. That guy he needs to be Captain America this year at the Ryder Cup. And if he is, he could change his whole year around.
On 14, I believe it was, I heard Dan Hicks and those say that something, and Eisner said, something happened between Cantlay and Bryson. And do you know the story behind that? There was some sort of moment where Patrick did something and Bryson was upset, shot him a look, or vice versa. I'm not supposed to know the facts here. I'm only supposed to bring up the facts or the perceived facts, and then you're supposed to correct me. That's how this works. Do you know the story there and what happened?
So 14th fairway, of course, the two of them playing together, Cantlay's going to hit first all day. Bryson's just much longer. Cantlay hit, put it on the green. Bryson's about to go. Cantlay's walking up with his caddy, and it disturbed Bryson. Maybe got in his field of vision. I'm not quite sure. You know, I wasn't there on the property, but Bryson pulled out of the shot at the last second and said, hey, Patrick, could you stop walking? Now, the way the commentators put it, and a lot of those guys, you know, the Maltbys and the Azingers, whatever, they've been out there. Mm-hmm. They understand kind of the unwritten rules of the road there. And, you know, they said, well, he could have just kind of backed off and then got back into his routine. He didn't need to call Patrick out on national television. And he did. And then Patrick proceeded to go up and then bury like a 30-foot birdie putt. And, you know, everyone goes with the Jordan memes. You know, I took that personally, which is kind of funny. But at the same time, I think that's just Bryson being Bryson. I think there's a lot going on there, Adam. I mean, I more than any of us can comprehend. And I'm not saying that we need to be nicer to Bryson because he brings a lot of it on himself. But the guy is really good. I mean, you have to give the guy props for being really good. I got to give him two thumbs up for being a great golfer. But at the same time, the guy, he definitely, I mean, if with the, I don't know, you know, $6 million he's won this year, he should definitely invest in some sort of cognitive training as far as how to deal with people. I mean, seriously. I mean,
I think there's a few of us that could probably use that same training. It's not just Bryson. All right, let's move on. That's 8 minutes just on that topic alone. We could go another half hour, but let's move quickly now to number two, and that is the FedEx playoffs. The last round this weekend at East Lake. This is the top 30. This is the best of the best after 3 weeks or 2 weeks of whittling down into this top 30 here. You had the Bubble Boys. You had everybody that was in and out. We now have it set. 30 people vying for, I don't know, $50 million, $10 million, whatever the hell it is. It is going to be an incredible weekend. But here's what some people probably forget. And are confused by, because a couple years ago they said, hey, let's make this a little bit more challenging from a math perspective, and so that the casual viewer can come in and go, what the hell did I miss? Why is so and so 10 under already? They stagger the starting score with the top and bottom having to basically handicapping the top 30, if I have that right. So that if you are number one coming into the East Lake, you start at what?
10 under par.
10 under par. So you are, so I guess it's a reverse handicap. It's like a reverse sandbagger. You're coming in at minus 10 already because that is some sort of an award for coming in at number one. And then all the way down to 30, who is at even, and they have to make up 10 shots over the course of that day or of that weekend. Your reaction to the staggered starting scores, and does it make any sense? And should people even invest into figuring out how the hell that works?
You know, it's tough to criticize the PGA Tour for all that they do right, whether it be charitable or the theater that they've been putting out and the product they've been putting out for years. But this one, I give a big thumbs down. I'm just not a big fan of the staggered start. And there's a couple reasons why. You know, the Net Tour Championship, as it's being called, right, will be the number one storyline this week. Well, it'll probably be 1A, and 1B will be the six captains picks that are going to come out of the Tour Championship. But really what it comes down to is that people are going to complain about the staggered start the whole time. And my feeling is the best golfer should win. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in all of Tiger's wins, they were never staggered starts, and he was the best golfer. There was no doubt in your mind. There was no doubt in my mind. Get the top 30 there and let them compete. Now, I know that they're trying to weight the fact that they can do better or increase their position as they go through the playoffs, Adam. But, like, if you're Tom Brady, do you get, like, a seven-point start because you made it into the AFC Championship game?
No.
No, you don't. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I see why they do it that way, but I don't think it's necessary.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but I got to get my thoughts in here because I look at it like NASCAR or IndyCar from a racing perspective. If you are first on the starting grid, you're in pole position. That's your advantage. You don't start five laps ahead of everybody else, and those guys that are behind have to make up those laps to compete with you. This is the top 30 in the world. This is the best golfers that we could possibly put out there onto a course. Let them duel it out. Let them go after it for four straight days and see what happens. There's no reason. They're competing for $10 million, and you're coming in. Is it $10 million? I don't even know. It doesn't 15. Matter. Okay, great. $15 million. They're coming in competing for $15 million, and you're already 10 shots behind. I don't even understand the reason behind it, and I think that's what's most frustrating is because it doesn't make it better. It actually makes it more confusing and cumbersome for the fan to come in, but I can't even imagine coming up to the T1 and going, holy shit, I'm already 10 strokes back. Like, what the hell? It's a visceral reaction to me because I don't get it. And I think that they're trying to, it's almost like they're putting more spice on a spicy dish. We're already good. Stop putting spice on it. Let's just rock and roll and let's get through it.
Well, I think we know where you stand there. Why don't we move on to the Ryder Cup?
Ryder Cup is, that's a positive topic. Ryder Cup is in about 3 weeks from now, and it is by far the biggest golf event of the year in a year that is already having the four majors, the Olympics, and now Ryder Cup. I tell you, I am super, super pumped to watch Ian Poulter pump his chest. I'm super pumped to see Bryson do some cool stuff. But more importantly, I'm pumped for the fan experience of watching and being part of the Ryder Cup at Whistling Straits in Wisconsin. Your reaction to what the Ryder Cup will be this year?
Oh, the Ryder Cup, I mean, is four thumbs up. Right. Two for me and two for you. There's no doubt about that. What I don't give thumbs up to this week, and I'm kind of like, on is like, I don't want to be Captain Steve Stricker because there's a decision to be made after the Tour Championship, and he's got to pick six guys after Cantlay jumped up five spots and took the sixth qualifying spot. So we know we have Morikawa, DJ, Bryson, Brooks, JT, and Patrick Cantlay. That's our six that are in. We got to pick six more. Well, the next three in the rankings are Finau, Xander, and Spieth. They're in. Okay, the way they've played, the way they're playing now, they're all in there. That's for sure. Number 10 is Harris English. I mean, the guy's had a career year, and he continues to play well. You know, he's finished, I think, top 25 at the BMW, so he's still showing fine form. So now you've got two more people that you need to select. You've got Patrick Reed, who's got double pneumonia and a bad ankle, right? But he's Captain America.
And Patrick Reed. I mean, that's the third strike there.
Then you've got Daniel Berger. You've got Spider-Man, Webb Simpson. You've got Scottie Scheffler, Jason Kokrak, Sam Burns, who just finished top 10.
I want Sam Burns. That's who I want there. If you're trying to figure out what I want Sam Burns. That dude right now is the hottest golfer. I think he's going to be fantastic coming into that thing. I think he would rise to the occasion 100%. I want Sam Burns over anybody else.
Well, here's where, you know, the Tour Championship's going to get confusing again, Adam, because with the staggered start, you're going to have these different scores for players, but you're looking at Berger, Scheffler, Kokrak, Burns, and Horschel, who are all in the Tour Championship, and you're not really going to know where they start, but you're going to know where they finish, who plays the best. Two of those guys are going to play their way on, and, you know, that's one of those things where that's why we both kind of don't agree with the staggered start of the Tour Championship.
I hate it.
Because, we want to see these guys and how well they play against par, against one another in this shootout, because Sam Burns, for all intents and purposes, the way he played at the BMW and the way he played at the Northern Trust and the way he's played all year deserves to get on that team, but he's ranked 16th, so he's got to jump some people. Well, Scheffler, Kokrak, they have a say in all that. Billy Horschel, he got snubbed years ago in the famous... He won the Tour Championship and the FedEx Cup and didn't make it on the Ryder Cup team 2 weeks later because they selected the captain's picks too early. Yeah. I mean, there's so much drama that's going to take place this weekend, and these guys know all about it. And let me tell you something. They better all putt like Patrick Cantlay if they want to get Steve Stricker to pick them. And that's what it all comes down to. And I just can't wait to see it all play out. Now, I got a quick question for you. Quick bonus react.
Go.
All right? Because I know we're running short on time. Tiger Woods, 25 years ago, hello world.
Hello world.
Right? The famous speech, Greater Milwaukee Open. All right? Quick reaction. Over the 25 years, what's your number one Tiger memory?
100% without question, Masters chip in. There's no better memory for me. I know exactly where I was. I was at a driving range in Sarasota, Florida. And it was on a little TV in the corner of this rinky dink driving range. And I remember the moment I saw it. I remember it happening. And I remember the feeling I get every single time I watch it. There's no better memory, no better moment than Tiger chipping in on 16 at the Masters in one of the most dramatic calls from a broadcaster that I've ever heard. And one of the most dramatic golf moments ever in the history of golf. So that, without question, is my answer. Keith, for some reason, I feel like this was a very heated Stick and Hack Reacts. I didn't mean for it to be, but once we started talking about the staggering start, my entire mood changed, and now it's ruined my afternoon. So thank you so much, Keith, for bringing that up. Appreciate it. Stick and Hack Reacts, Adam Grubb from Stick and Hack. That's Keith Stewart from the Pro Show at ESPN Radio in New York. Next Monday, be here for our reaction to what is certainly going to be an incredible weekend of golf, and one that I think will change the face of the Ryder Cup team, as well as give somebody $15 million. Now, hopefully it's not the person that starts with a 50 underscore and pretty much is guaranteed the win, unless that they hit 14 in the water. Keith, enjoy your lunch. Enjoy your afternoon. Thank you so much for your time today. And Godspeed.
Folks, go easy on the hot sauce. Adam brought plenty of heat for you today. Enjoy lunch.